You're listening to the For I Will Be With You podcast. For I Will Be With You. Daily reflections on recovery from the Bible.
Welcome back to the For I Will Be With You podcast for the 40th week of the year from September 30th to October 6th, covering Numbers 20:12 to Numbers 22:25. So we're picking up Numbers 20:12 and 20:13, the end of a story that we started last week, which is that Moses was asked to get water from a rock. They've run out of water, and God tells Moses to speak to a rock, and God will miraculously provide a new well for the Israelites from that rock. And somehow it doesn't quite work, and Moses takes his stick and hits the rock. And God is angry with Moses for hitting the rock, not following directions. And so he says in Numbers 20:12 the following punishment. It says, God said to Moses and to Aaron, because you did not believe in me to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you will not bring this congregation to the land that I have given them. So this is the punishment. If we're hitting the rock instead of talking to it, Moses will not be allowed to enter the promised land. And I think most of us might think, wow, that's a pretty heavy punishment for someone who's spent his entire life working on this project and devoting himself to bringing the people of Israel into the land of Israel, and for this one seemingly minor problem, he's not going to get to see the end of it. Seems like an extreme punishment. You know, for not listening to God, or letting his anger get the better of him, maybe. He's being punished by never getting to set foot in the land. It doesn't seem fair, really, in superficial reading. One way to look at it, though, is that for someone on the level of Moses, God has a much higher expectation of good behavior. You know, you or I could get away with hitting the rock. We're not at that level, but Moses cannot. He's at a very, very high spiritual level, and he's supposed to do better. Another perspective is that there are some heavenly directions that we simply cannot understand with our human minds. This parallels the concept of the heavenly decree that we discussed earlier. It's a decree of Torah that we sacrifice a completely red cow. Why? It's not really clear, but it is a decree nonetheless. And this is, in some ways, what's going on here. Moses accepts his punishment as a decree of God. Numbers 22:5 introduces a new story, which is the story of Balak, the king of Moab, and Bilam, the prophet that he engages to curse the Israelites. So what's happening here, just a quick digression to explain, if you look at the map of the Middle East, the Israelites, the route that people think the Israelites took was not direct. They didn't walk directly from Egypt to where the land of Israel is. They actually walked sort of down south through an area that would now be considered Saudi Arabia, and then back up sort of around the back through what is now Jordan, just approximately. So they kind of go in a roundabout way. So that's why they cross the Jordan. If you look at where the Jordan River is, it's sort of, if you've ever thought about this, why they have to cross the Jordan if they're coming to Egypt, it would kind of like being having to cross the Mississippi River if you landed in New York. Like you're just not going in that direction. But they kind of go around the back. And so Balak is the king of Moab, which is approximately where the nation of Jordan is today. So he's worried that this nation is coming at him, and he doesn't want them to fight in a war with his people, so he finds Bilam, who's in English it's the Bible translated as Balaam, but in Hebrew it's Bilam, so I'll call him Bilam. So Numbers 22:5 says, and 22:6 says, he, meaning Balak, king of Moab, sent messengers to Bilam, son of Beor, to Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the members of his people, to summon him, saying, behold, a people has come out of Egypt. Behold, it has covered the surface of the earth, and it sits opposite me. So now, please come and curse this people for me, for it is too powerful for me. So, he's worried. He wants Bilam to curse the children of Israel so that they'll either go away or die. He's frightened of their strength. Of course, this story doesn't end well for Balak, and there's a lesson in the story for those of us who react to fear with the urge to do ill will to others. And in this very classic sort of addict alcoholic behavior, we're afraid of something, and our response is to hurt someone else or hurt the person we think is causing us to fear. And in this way, Balak is a study in denial. Balak has watched as God miraculously freed the Israelites from Pharaoh, the most powerful king in the world. He's watched as this people miraculously survived in a barren wilderness for 40 years. And when it's his time to confront them, his instinct is to find someone evil who can curse them. If it wasn't obvious to Balak that he was dealing with a power greater than himself in the children of Israel, he was severely deluded. He's deluding himself. I mean, he's looking right in the eye of divine power, and he can't deal with it. And the same way, we can't hide from God's will. We can't be in denial. If we see something that's God-inspired, that scares us, maybe because it's the truth, we should try not to be in denial and lash out with wanting to do harm to other people. Cursing others and wishing bad things to people who bring you the word of God won't stop the word of God. It will only make your situation worse. So now, in Numbers 22:6, Balak says, so now, please come and curse this people for me, for it is too powerful for me. Perhaps I will be able to strike it and drive it away from the land, for I know that whomever you bless is blessed, and whomever you curse is accursed. So Balak is talking to Bilam. He's saying, whoever you bless is blessed, and whomever you curse is accursed. So Bilam is a prophet. He is a prophet of one of the Gentile nations of the earth at this time. And just sort of a little bit of background, the understanding is that there at that time, this has been lost to history, but at that time there were many people around, Israelites and non-Israelites, who had some sense of the true workings of the divine. They had an ability to be prophetic. And Bilam fell into this category. but Bilam, because he was a bad person, used his prophetic talents for bad things. And what we learn, the commentators in the Talmud say that Bilam had an understanding that there is a time every day when God is quote-unquote angry and judges sinners. And since everybody is basically a sinner at some level, everybody is vulnerable to God's punishment at that moment, but nobody knows when that moment is. But Bilam somehow knew. So if he cursed you at that moment, he could cause God's punishment to flow to you, meaning God usually withholds the punishment that we deserve in the hopes that we'll turn ourselves around. But if God's true punishment for us that we really deserve for our behavior flows through to us, it's very bad for us. It'll probably kill us or cause us great suffering or troubles. So in this way, Bilam is really a negative role model for us in recovery. If we can gain an inkling of God's will, we should use it for good, not for destructive purposes. And also, on another level, because we no longer know the moment when God's judgment of sin is in effect, We should act as if every moment in the day has the potential. We should always act in ways that are good in search of conscious contact with God. If we understand that God is being merciful to us and giving us a chance to turn ourselves around, this will maybe help us stay sober and work harder on being better. Numbers 22:4, just going back a few verses, says, Moab, meaning Balak, the king of Moab, said to the elders of Midian, which was another country near there, Moab said to the elders of Midian, now the congregation will lick up our entire surroundings as an ox licks up the greenery of the field. Balak, son of Zippor, was king of Moab at that time. So Moab and Midian were neighboring countries. Midian is thought to be approximately where Saudi Arabia is now. So Moab and Midian were neighbors, and they had traditionally been enemies. And now, with the children of Israel approaching, they became allies. This is something you see throughout history. Enemies come together in the face of a common enemy. Now, this can happen also in recovery, for good or bad. In the good experience, we open ourselves up to positive relationships with people we might never have otherwise known, or with people we didn't even like, in order to gain sobriety. Certainly see that a lot. We find these kind of unusual, healthy alliances between people who wouldn't normally be together. But as the story shows, it can go in a negative direction. You know, if we're driven by fear and a desire to do evil, like Balak, we can run to our enemy and seek support in cursing someone else. And we can do this too. I mean, maybe not so extreme, but if we're in a state of fear and anxiousness about ending our relationship with drugs, for example, we might run into the arms of bad people, people we should be afraid of and avoid. Yet, fueled by fear, we are ready to embrace toxic people who might harm us if we think they will help us to get through to the next fix. And unfortunately, this is how addiction works. You know, we certainly with addiction and alcoholism, we often find ourselves in the company of people who really should be our enemies, you know. We ally with them because we have a common enemy called fear. So these things, it's a double-edged thing. Numbers 22:9 to 22:12 says, God came to Balaam and said, who are these men with you? Balaam said to God, Balak, son of Zippor, king of Moab, sent to, behold, the people coming out of Egypt has covered the surface of the earth. Now go and curse it for me. Perhaps I will be able to make war against it and drive it away. God said to Balaam, you shall not go with them. You shall not curse the people, for it is blessed. Now, this is really an amazing moment because, and this is a theme I see a lot in the Bible, which is they don't make evil people like they used to. So here's someone who the Bible calls an evil person, yet he's having a direct conversation with God, something that today the most righteous people can't do. So it was a different time, right? Here's Balaam, a horrible human being, not only has a direct connection with God, but he has enough respect for God and fear of God to ask, well, you know, what should I do about this? And God is asking, so what's happening is the men from the king of Moab have come to talk to Balaam to ask him to make this curse, and God says, who are these men? Of course God knows who these men are, right? But he wants Balaam to say it for himself. So God gives him direction on the matter. And what happens is that Balaam follows God's word. He refuses to curse the Israelites when he is first asked, because God told him not to. So according to the commentators, Balaam really wanted to go, and he wanted God to say it's okay. But when God said don't go, he didn't go. A couple of things to consider on this story as we work the steps. If someone as bad as Balaam merits a direct discussion with God and is willing to follow God's direction, then we should also do this. We can all rise to the level of hearing the word of God in our own ways, and we should be willing to understand God's will for us. Balaam is a complex example, of course, because he keeps looking for a loophole that will allow him to follow through on his evil mission. So in that way, he's like an addict as well, constantly scheming for an angle that will allow him to act out. Like Bilam, we play games with morality. We know what we are doing is wrong, but we find ways to justify it. In Numbers 22:21 and 22:23, it says, Bilam arose in the morning and saddled his she-donkey and went with the officers of Moab. God's wrath flared because he was going, and an angel of God stood on the road to impede him. He was riding on his she-donkey, and his two young men were with him. The she-donkey saw the angel of God and turned away from the road and went into the field. Then Bilam struck the she-donkey to turn it back onto the road. So God finally gave Bilam permission to go on his mission, but he made a condition. He said, you can go, but you're only going to say what I tell you to say, meaning God will tell him to say what to about the Israelites and not curse them. Bilam can't wait one extra second to do something bad, right? He saddles his own donkey. So he's an important person, right? But he's such a hurry. Usually he would have a servant saddle his donkey, and it actually is a parallel to the story of Abraham and Isaac. When God told Abraham to sacrifice Isaac in the book of Genesis, it says Abraham saddled his own donkey. So it's thought to be a parallel. Abraham ran to do good, and Bilam runs to do evil. And what's really going on here, and this is sort of like almost like a parent-child relationship, God is telling Bilam that he has the free will and can go if he likes, even if God thinks it's a bad idea. Right? We get told this too sometimes, right? Go do it if you really want, but I wouldn't if I were you. That's probably one of the it's probably a common sort of sponsor comment. You know, I think this is a mistake, but you're free to do it. Maybe you can learn something about yourself. So we go and dash out and do whatever self-destructive thing it is we want to try. Maybe our parents told us this earlier in our lives. Then we have we have this strange image. It's a sort of strange story. The donkey sees the angel of God, which is invisible to Bilam. And one way to look at this is God's disapproval and Bilam's wrong choice are so obvious that even a donkey can see it, but Bilam cannot. And this is a classic addict moment, meaning like everyone in your life can see that you're destroying yourself, and they warn you to stop, and they try and help you, but you ignore them. I mean, literally, an animal could see it, but you can't. Continuing with this verse, just going a little bit further to Numbers 22:25, says, the she-donkey saw the angel of God and turned away from the road and went into the field. Then Bilam struck the she-donkey to turn it back onto the road. The angel of God stood in the path of the vineyards, a fence on this side and a fence on that side. The she-donkey saw the angel of God and pressed against the wall, and it pressed Bilam's leg against the wall, and he continued to strike it. So the donkey doesn't want to go forward because the donkey can see the angel, and Bilam cannot. And Bilam is whipping the donkey, and the donkey is pushing up against the wall, pressing Bilam's legs, and Bilam is just, you know, hitting the donkey to make it go forward. And I think this is really such a classic alcoholic addict scene. You know, we want to go and drink or use, and something gets in our way. And maybe instead of thinking, you know, maybe this obstacle was put in my way for a reason, maybe to help me stop destroying myself, we double down and put our energies into removing the obstacle. And I think we've all had this kind of experience. Like, you know, you want to go drink and use, and you get a flat tire. And if we had any sense, it'd be like, you know, maybe this is a sign that I shouldn't go do this, but instead you're like, I better call the auto club, I better change my tire, because Lord knows I got to get to that bar and get drunk, right? That's important. Nothing's going to get my way. And, you know, God, in this case, sent the angel to frighten the donkey, maybe thinking Bilam would reconsider his poor decision to curse the children of Israel, but Bilam's not having it. He must move on with his plan. And, you know, this is us. There's no mountain we won't move to feed our habits. no number of sensible warnings from people or even from God will stop us. From some of us, we're going to ignore those warnings until we're dead, or in the hospital, or in jail. If we can learn to recognize when God is sending us a warning to change our ways, we can get on track for sobriety.
You've been listening to the For I Will Be With You podcast. Daily reflections on recovery from the Bible. www.foriwillbewithyou.com